Hey now, what's going on? Welcome to the program. Welcome back. Good morning. Good afternoon. What's up? What's cracking? Having a lot of fun. Hour number one pretty much did itself. Coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Really quickly, before I get to the flight deck, James Kelly for Big Head Bets. One quick reaction from Hansonian88. He writes, epic, Alvin, the G-O-A-T. Alvy, not Brian Kelly. That guy's a phony bag. Someone tell me the scenarios for this weekend because I have never wanted to see Notre Dame get into the playoffs so bad. Wore the old Buckeye, Marcus Freeman. Godspeed. He made a great first impression. Brian Kelly made a terrible first impression. You see these two things juxtaposed. I expect him to come out with, like, I'm the former president of Michigan. It was the feedback in the arena. My family backs me up on that.
Thank you so much.
I can't believe my man broke out that jug for that. That's incredible. Let's get to it. It's Friday, so that means it is time for Big Head Bets. Let me begin this once again by saying, and I want to quote a very wise man who may himself have had a jug. He may have blown into that jug. But that wise man once said, this gambling game is hard, dog.
Well, dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog.
This gambling game is hard, dog. I say this not to make an excuse. I say this not to hedge in any way, but merely to state a fact and to remind you that while it is fun, it's fun as hell. It's challenging as hell. There are people who do nothing but study the NFL, who work that beat exclusively, and they pick games, and they're getting their brains beaten in. And I don't mean they go 3-3 or even 2-4 for the weekend. I mean, I've seen guys that I truly respect go 0-4, 0 for the weekend, 0-7, 3-10, 3-12, things like that. I mean, really sharp people who are getting their brains beaten in. You have to keep that in mind, which is why, once again, I want to repeat this. When Dana White joined me on my podcast this week, he reminded me that while he loves blackjack, and I reminded him, while he kills it in blackjack, he hates sports gambling because it's so bleeping hard.
I don't really like to bet on sports. You know how people say it makes the game more interesting? I disagree, man. It's just, it makes me hate the game. You know, like all these crazy things happen, and the game is, there's 30 seconds left of the game, and it's definitely going under. And then all these crazy series of events happen, and the game goes over. And that stuff happens every time I bet on sports. So I don't do it anymore.
You don't like losing, or is there the stress involved?
I hate losing. Number one, I hate to lose. Number two, yeah, it's super stressful. And it's, you can't tell me that you go into Sunday with the NFL and there's teams that you know, these guys suck. These guys are terrible. There's no way they're going to cover the spread. And they always do. They always manage. The team that shouldn't win wins. The team that shouldn't cover covers.
I'm telling you, man, Dana White nailed that. He's right. So with that in mind, the big head, fresh off getting his ass kicked last night for taking the Saints plus 6.5. We man up. We suck it up. We get ready to head into the weekend so we can get right. What's up, head?
Man, I feel a lot like Dana White tonight, or today, Jim, after last night's game. The one time
it's 10 o'clock in the morning,
points.
Dude. Why are you talking about tonight? It's 10 a.m., dude.
The one time I take the points, I get it right in the face, man.
Right in my face. All right,
right,
that's one for you, head.
I'm waiting.
I was going to ask you how
right
you would describe your head space right now, Hayo, but you did. All right, let's get right to it.
All right.
Dude, behave yourself. Let's get into it, and why don't we start with the one thing that we do know, head, about the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. The one thing we know week to week is that we don't know a damn thing about the NFL. Mm-hmm. Actually, though, there is something I do know. No, wait, head. There are two things that I know. No, wait. There are three things that I know. Number one, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor is a freaking stud. Number two, the Texans run defense is ass. Number three, Taylor is going to run it right down their throats. The Colts are at Houston. They're heavy favorites. I don't think anybody anywhere, including the Texans, think they're going to win. But as usual, it's not about that. We're here to talk about the number and figure out which way we are going to go with that number. What are you seeing in that game? Who do you like?
Colts minus 9.5 is what I got, and I'm hitting that, Jim. I like the Colts a lot. They're getting better and better each week. They waxed the Bills 2 weeks ago, and really, they were the better team against Tampa outside of two bad, stupid plays last week. But like you said, this week, they will run Taylor, and he will go off against a run D that allows 4.5 yards per carry. Their defense should also play big against the worst offense in football in Houston. The Colts are tied with Buffalo for being the best team in football in forcing turnovers. They force 2.3 turnovers per game. Indy is 4-1 on the road via the spread this season. Let's make it 5-1. Indy minus 9.5.
All right, Head, I don't know how that pick goes, but that was without question the smoothest you have ever been.
Dude, give me time. Give me time.
Okay, all right, let's go to the next one. There you go. First pick is Colts minus 9.5. Not only are there no sure things in the NFL now, there is almost nobody, Head, that I trust anymore. It's like Dana White said, there are certain games, there are certain teams that are straight garbage, and you know garbage. There's no way they're going to win or they're going to cover because they're garbage. Then they go out and they do what we thought was impossible, and we get our asses burned, and it happens every single week. Example, Eagles at the Jets. I want to like the Eagles. I want to love Jalen Hurts, but I don't trust the team or the guy because I just don't know week to week what I'm going to get. Good news is, more often than not, we know exactly what we're going to get from the Jets. Garbage. But then again, even the Jets have risen up twice and beaten the Bengals and the Titans. Mm-hmm. So, Head, it's all dicey to me, especially this game, yet you want to play it. What's the number? How do you see it?
The number is Philly minus 6.5. I'll take that, Jim. Look, Hurts had the worst game of his career last week against the Giants. If he plays bad here against the 32nd ranked Jets defense, the thought of him being the franchise quarterback in Philly is iced. I think he bounces back here. The offensive line should impose their will, and they will run wild against the worst run defense in football, according to Pro Football Focus. Also, Zach Wilson is playing. He has 10 picks in 7 games, and that bodes well for Philly's defense. Against the spread, the Jets are 1-6 in their last 7 games via a team with a losing record. Philly is 5-7. That's in play. Eagles minus 6.5.
Head, I got to tell you something, man. You are dialed in. I don't know if it's because you got your ass kicked last night. You are locked in. Good info, smooth delivery. I like it. Let me add to that game. My man Darius Slay is going to get at least one off that turnover machine that is Zach Wilson. I'm going to roll with you on that one. I'm with you. All right, next game. WFT at Vegas. Truth is, generally speaking, I sort of like WFT as a team. Not as a dirty, revolting, dysfunctional organization, but I sort of like them as a team. Kind of, because they sort of have playmakers that I like. On the flip side, we know the Raiders have had a brutal season off the field, yet somehow, Head, they're 6-5. They're still in the hunt. You had this intriguing battle, too, within the battle. Derek Carr going up against his former head coach, Jack Del Rio. You know there's bad blood there. You know they don't like each other. You know they want to get over on each other. Even though I never know what I'm going to get from the Raiders, somehow, depending on the value I can get, I find myself leaning that way. Because on occasion, Head, you know the Raiders, when they show up, they really show up, and it feels to me like it's one of those weeks. How do you see this matchup?
A lot of people like the Washington football team here, Jim. The number has moved down to Raiders minus 1.5, and I'll actually take the silver and black here. The Carr v. Jack matchup is the difference in what you just said. Advantage Carr, though. The NFL's leading passer takes on the 30th ranked pass defense of Del Rio's without some of his best pass rushers. I love Carr here. Also, you want to run the ball against the Raiders, and that's not what Washington does really good on offense. Add the fact
does
that
really
Vegas,
well, not good, well. You're cruising, dude.
I was cruising.
Nice grammar.
Add the fact as well that the Vegas Raiders haven't played since Thanksgiving, and Washington is traveling across the country on that short week. I like the Raiders minus 1.5 here, man.
Tell you what, dude, you are just way too smooth, man. What are you, Ivy League educated now? All right, so Raiders minus 1.5 versus WFT. one of my favorite matchups. No, this is my favorite matchup. My favorite matchup of the weekend, Jags at Rams. I say that because Pervin Liar is in town, which is awesome. Number two, the Rams. More than anybody need a get-right game this week, and the Jags are the ultimate get-right team. And number three, if the Rams finally nut up and they punch the Jags in the face, then Buddy is in the perfect place in the event that he wants to abandon his team once again and have another Buddy night out. No. He can't just throw on his Ohio State pullover and post up with some co-ed at his own bar. But Buddy can roll right through Hollywood, and nobody will know who the hell he is or even give a damn. He'll be just another middle-aged perv and liar, and this town has a million of them already. So, Pervy L is exactly where he needs to be this weekend. Just don't hold the jet for him, because he's probably not getting on it with the rest of the team and staff. In terms of the game, which I bring you back for, editorial aside, the Rams are not who we thought they were ahead, but under Perv's tutelage, Trevor Lawrence is not getting better. He's getting worse. What's the number? How you playing it?
That's such a fascinating thought. If Perv Jim can't compose himself with Columbus Skank, how in the world can he handle Los Angeles ass? I don't know, man, but maybe Odell's dad, Splicer, could follow him around all weekend. But the game?
I will allow that.
The Rams are favored by 12.5, and despite not covering in their past five games, I'm taking them again. The Jags' offense has averaged 11.4 points a game while losing four of their past five games. Like you said, Trevor Lawrence hasn't handled pressure well. Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Leonard Floyd should be on his backside like Buddy in a bar, often unapologetic and shameless as hell late in the game. Lawrence is also playing without his tight end and possibly his running back, James Robinson. As long as your guy, Matthew Gofford, doesn't go pick six with this thing again, he should feast against that horrible secondary. Let's go Jalen Ramsey in the Rams minus 12.5.
Wow, dude, I don't know how you don't walk off on that. That was your best work to date. However, I know you've got one more game, the Big Head. I feel like I've seen this movie before. Mr. Big Chest, Antonio Brown doing Mr. Big Chest things. Yes, he stayed down for a while. Yes, bringing him in did pay big dividends to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But if you know this guy, you know it was just a matter of time before Mr. Big Chest started doing Mr. Big Chest things. Mr. Big Chest. Big chests like that never change. And come to find out, he was rocking a fake vax card because, of course, he was. I'm not saying he's the only one. I'm saying, does it surprise anybody at all that he was the one that had it and got caught? So, in other words, the more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. The only thing, Head, that makes me think I've already seen this movie is that the Bucks were struggling recently, like they were struggling last year, and then they got right at the right time. I feel like it's happening again. It feels eerily similar to me as it did last year. How does it feel to you? What's your thought and deal with this game?
Yeah, it's that time. It has that feel for the Bucks to start coming around here. And, dude, AB, this team and Tom is a hell of a lot better when old Frozen Foot's out there. It's unreal how much better and a difference that that guy makes with these guys. Now, having said that, I still like Tampa here, Jim, because that number is actually now dropped to 10 points, so minus 10. It could be tricky with it being a road division game, but the Falcons can't rush the passer. They are dead last in the NFL in sacks. They haven't won at home. Tom should feast here, and their defense should be all over Matty Ice. Bucks, they want that first-round bye. Let's lay the 10 and take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, so you never know what's going to happen week to week, but I will say this, Head. I will say this. You've never sounded better. The information sounds tight and dialed in. Run it back very quickly for me on air, then take it to Twitter.
Chalk, chalk, chalk. All chalk. Colts minus 9.5. Eagles minus 6.5. Vegas minus 1.5. Rams minus 12.5. Tampa minus 10. There you go.
Just so there's no confusion, we're not talking about the newest member of the XR4TI, Chalk. But I don't want to talk down to people, but for those who do not understand, what does Chalk mean?
Going with the favorite and laying the points on every single one of these.
Chalky as hell. Nice job, Head. Good luck. Let's get down. Let's get paid. Let's get it.
Thanks,
good
Jim.
Good job, dude. Good job. I feel good about it. I really do. I think that that was one of his best efforts to date. Time will tell. If we go over the weekend, then I'll be talking bleep about it. Listen, it's hard. It's really, really hard. But that is the Big Head Bet segment. That's who he likes. I think I like everything he likes. And that's not always the case. I went against him last night. I got paid. He did not get paid last night. I like what I hear. Let's take a short time out. That was fun. Good stuff. And more coaches and athletic programs are mutually parting ways. There's a jungle guy right there. I'll have that story for you straight ahead. Also, NATO, it's coming up next. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs because they are close, they are convenient, and they are known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Do you need gift ideas? Their holiday gift guide has something for everybody on your list at prices under $15, such as a pair of Mechanics Wear black coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime digital tire gauge, and so much more. Check out the holiday gift guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com. They even offer convenient options for you to get your order quickly. Purchase online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your parts and your holiday gifts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This is going to be an amazing weekend. There's some great matchups across the board this weekend. Football and basketball both. Why don't we talk some college basketball? One of those matchups we will get to momentarily. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Alabama. Third season with Crimson Tide. He was the SEC Coach of the Year last season. Led Alabama to the regular season title, a tournament title, a Sweet 16 run. Alabama is 6-1 this year. They are number 16 in both polls, and they're going up against number 3 Gonzaga tomorrow night. Nate Oates is my guest. Nate, always good to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Nate, I'm curious, as you get ready for one of the biggest non-conference games this season in the entire sport, when you take on Gonzaga tomorrow night, what's the vibe and energy like among your players as you get ready for that game? What has the week been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, they're ready. It's one of those deals where if you're going to be one of the better teams in the country, you're top 25, you want to play the best. I mean, Gonzaga was number one. They were number one most of last year. They're one of the best programs in the country. So our guys are ready. You know, I think they want to test themselves against the best. So it's going to be a good game. I mean, Gonzaga's got the number one rated offense in the country. It's going to test our defense for sure.
So, Nate, I wonder, like, you're focused on what you got to get done, what your guys got to get done. If you were to step back for 1 second, a lot of coaches, it seems to me, don't want to play a game like that. How important are games like this, though, for the sport of college basketball overall?
I think it's really important. You know, I think, and if you look at Gonzaga, they've done a good job. I mean, they played Texas, they played UCLA, they played Duke. I mean, they're playing some heavy hitters, which is great for the sport. You know, gets viewership up, gets people interested in it. You know, you've got to have home games early in the year where, you know, maybe you buy some opponents in and get your home base, but you also got to play big games and neutral sites. And, you know, I want to play the best. I want to test ourselves against the best. And I think it's really good for the sport of basketball that some of these games are played.
I do too. I think it's awesome. I think it's tremendous. Nate Oates is the head basketball coach at Alabama. Nate, before you go, I'll circle back to that. But I want to ask you about a couple of your guys. You're coming off a game where you had 19 assists in the second half against Miami. You and I have talked in the past about how you want that offense to look and feel. How pleased were you with the ball movement against the Hurricanes?
Yeah, in the second half, I mean, that's the best half of basketball we played this year. So it was good. It came coming into this game, you know, 19 assists to 4 turnovers is how we want to play. We want the ball moving. Now, it helps your assist numbers when you shoot 13 of 17 from 3 as well. There's no guarantee you're going to shoot that well in a half again. But I also think your shooting numbers go up when the ball moves like we had it moving. So we're going to try to keep the ball moving, you know, not sticking. And we've got shooters. And I think when the ball moves, you get open shots, you're going to shoot a higher percentage. So it was a good half of basketball for us against Miami in that second half. We put 63 points on him in a half, and the ball moved like it did.
Nate Oates joining us. Keon Ellis, Nate, had a big game in that win over Miami. 22 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of assists. His minutes have gone up this year, so much so, well, his production has too. Coming into the season, you were talking him up and you said, quote, "I probably should have played him more, to be honest with you." I thought that was a really honest assessment by you. What did you see in him late last season that gave you the impression, and how has he responded so far this year?
I mean, he's easy to play with. He's super efficient. He doesn't shoot bad shots. I mean, you know, one of those, we played 3 games down in Orlando. One of those games, you only got 3 shots up, which is not good as the coach. You're a guy that's that efficient, only gets 3 shots. And you talk to some other guys on the team, like, we can't have it. They know he's a really talented player. He's going to take what the defense gives him. He's going to move the ball when it's supposed to be moved. He's going to take great shots. He's going to play both sides of the ball. And we've got analytics company that gives us data. I mean, he was one of our highest offensive and defensive leverage guys last year, just because he's so efficient. So, you know, he's got a way bigger role this year. We need him to be a little more aggressive. I think he's starting to find, you know, that there's a fine line between not overdoing it but being aggressive. And, we needed him to be a little more aggressive. And I think he's starting to figure that out a little bit more.
We're talking to Nate Oates. He's the head basketball coach at Alabama. You know, Nate, I'm looking at this, and you're number 16 in the country despite losing the SEC Player of the Year. A total of 4 starters, a key reserve. 2 of your guys went in the first 35 picks in last year's draft. So how do you explain the fact that you lose all of that talent and you are still right back in the mix?
Yeah, I think, you know, we lost 4 of our top 6 scorers, but we do have the top 2 back in Shackelford and Quinterly. So, and I think, you know, the recruiting's gone well. You know, J.D. Davidson's a McDonald's All-American. He's playing really well for us. He had a really good game against Miami. You know, we've got program that's exciting to play in. I think we're able to recruit, and we lost a lot, but we did have some guys back. You know, Juwan Gary and Keon Ellis were big role players. You know, Juwan only averaged 8 minutes a game, but he was coming on late. Keon Ellis was coming on late. So we've got, you know, those 4 returners. We were able to add Noah Gurley in the transfer portal, who's played a lot of big-time minutes, you know, at Furman, and they're a really good program. So, and then our recruiting's gone well, and it went well again this year, so we're hoping to keep the program up. You know, it's going to be hard to have the same record we had in SEC play last year, but, you know, I think we can keep the program up towards the top level of the SEC and one of the top 25 teams in the country. That's the plan right now.
All right, so, Nate, you just mentioned 2 things that I wanted to ask you about. I was going to ask you about J.D. He's one of the new faces. He's from a really small town south of Montgomery. He had 13 points. He had 10 assists. He had 6 rebounds. He had a really nice game against Miami. What is it about him and his game that makes him unique?
He's so explosive. I mean, he's maybe the most explosive guard in the country. His athleticism's through the roof. And then you tack on the fact he's maybe the most unselfish kid we've got. So he's able to get, you know, in the lane, make plays, and then he's really looking to make plays for his teammates almost too much. You know, we got to tell him to be more aggressive. Like, if you're always just looking to make plays for your teammates, defense is going to build out and the passing lanes aren't going to be there. So you got to be aggressive, use your athleticism, continue to be unselfish, you know, when it's appropriate. And I think he's got a poise about him for a freshman that's, you know, uncommon, and I think he's playing really well. You know, we just got to keep pumping him up. He's able to make threes. He's just not comfortable yet taking them as often as he maybe needs to, but he's playing downhill. He's moving the ball. He's getting better on defense. You know, most freshmen aren't great defenders. They haven't had to play in a system like that, but he's getting better every day, and his athleticism really separates him from everybody else.
Alabama head coach Nate Oates joining me for another moment or so. You got a big game coming up. You got Gonzaga and Alabama. So Gonzaga's got a ton of talent, obviously. They've got a ton of size, obviously. Nate, when you look at the combination of Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, I mean, they've got 2 really skilled players with size in there that can both really pass the ball and score it. I mean, Chet's a huge target at the rim. He's so long. Nobody kind of plays more like a wing with his skill level, you know, but Timmy's more physical than Chet. Chet's, you know, a little more skilled, if you would say, and kind of faces the basket. Timmy will drop his shoulder in you and play with a lot more physicality and punish you more at the rim, but they both find each other well. They pass, you know, and they find the guards cutting. I mean, this is one of the best passing teams in the country. You got multiple guys averaging you know, 2-3 assists. Like, so there's a reason they're number one offense in the country. And those two guys are a big part of it. Their guards are really unselfish. You know, Nembhard's averaging almost 6 assists a game. So we've got our hands full, but I think our guys are up to it. You know, we had the third best defense in the country last year. Our program's trying to really build it on playing hard, playing defense the right way. You know, this is a big test for our defense this year.
I was going to say, Nate, what else? Like, your team, you don't need to tell them the opportunity that's in front of them. They know that. They know what you expect from them defensively. Is there anything else there? Like, what is your message to your team as they get ready for this great opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, we got to come out, play hard. We got to be the more aggressive team, you know, which is going to be hard to do. I mean, Gonzaga plays really hard. Their transition offense is one of the best in the country. So, we got to be playing hard, getting back on the not giving them transition points. I mean, if you looked at a couple of their big games, you know, they played UCLA and Texas and kind of punched both those teams in the mouth right out of the gate. I mean, we've got to be ready to play out of the gate, and then we just got to move the ball. If we're unselfish on offense and really locked into it defensively, I believe we've got the talent to play with them and give them a run, but we got to have both going. You can't, when you're playing an elite team, you can't be great offense or great defense. You can't pick and choose. You got to be great on both sides of the ball for 40 minutes. And we've shown that at times, but we got to do it for the whole 40 in this one.
Man, I absolutely love it. I love the matchup. Number 16, Alabama, going up against number 3, Gonzaga, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Nate, I could feel the energy. I could feel the intensity. I know your guys will be ready to roll. You got a big challenge in front of you. Great to have you on to talk that game up, Nate. Thanks so much. Good luck to you.
No, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure being on the show. I love listening to your show.
Love having you on the show. Nate, you pump me up every single time, man. I always want to do better. I want to be better. I want to be tougher after talking to you, Nate. Nate Oates. I'm telling you, man, he has got a lot of fire and a lot of intensity. This guy with talent is scary. And they lost a lot of talent. They returned some talent. But he's maximizing always what he has. That's a damn good coach. And he's going up against another damn good coach, obviously, with a ton of talent. I love that matchup. So good for the college game. Number 16, Bama. Number 3, Gonzaga. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I really appreciate a coach like that coming on the night before a game like that. Nate Oates. He's a good jungle man. Mark Few is too. 1-800-636-8686. Some reaction to the big head. At Dude From Cheers. Quote, way to stick your neck out on the line for those picks. Signed, Mike Glennon. Hey, Dude From Cheers. He owned it. He said it. He said at the very end, I'm really chalky. I'm going with the chalk. Listen, the thing about the NFL is it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? You can go chalk and still get your ass kicked. This is the whole point about the NFL. It's never been more difficult and more challenging. So it's not just a matter of, hey, you're a punk. You went chalk. Who knows? I'm going to tell you something. You've got guys who spend all day long. Like, he went against the chalk last night and he lost. So before you come in here and say, hey, man, that's punk. That's lazy. That's cowardly. You went all chalk. Yeah, he went against the chalk last night, and what did it get him? You don't know. I mean, I don't want to sit here and argue that we're bringing you something that you could get yourself by flipping a coin. But go ahead and flip a coin, man. I'm telling you, there are really, really smart people who are spending a hell of a lot of time on this, that are focused on nothing but this. And they're getting their clocks cleaned on the weekly. I'm telling you, there are people that I follow, people that I read, people that I talk to, people that I put on this show, people that I put on my podcast, people that have been covering the NFL for a long, long time that have tried to wade in and pick games, and it's gone really badly for them. So what I'm saying to you is I'm cautioning you against that. And what I'm also saying to you is, emphatically, you should have given us more credit when we were absolutely murdering it earlier in the season, but you took it for granted. You thought it was easy. You know what it's like? It's like an experience I had in horse racing. I had success early. The first 4 races that I owned a part of a horse of, we won 3. And I thought to myself, I'm good at this. I've got a knack for this. I know what I'm doing. Never mind that I had nothing to do with any of it. But you get lulled into the sense of it's not that hard. And then you start getting punched in the face and kicked in the balls. And then you're reminded that not only is it hard, it's the hardest thing in the world. But it's also, if done responsibly, the most fun you could ever have. Because the wins feel so good, man. And the losses hurt so much. Some of the losses hurt so much, they almost feel good, if that makes sense. And then you miss it when you don't have it. You just miss the extremes. You miss the feeling. You just have to be able to moderate it. You can't get in too deep. You can't play with funds that you don't have. That's the key. As long as you know what you're getting into and you can moderate it, it's awesome. Because the wins feel so good and the bad beats hurt so bad, they almost feel good, if that makes sense. It's just a ride, man. And my favorite thing about it is that you're not just some degenerate in a basement. There's a community to it. Like, we're in this together. This is why I do Big Head Bets, so we can ride this thing together. You agree with us, you ride with us. You win with us, you lose with us. You don't agree with us, you win, you talk junk. Hey, you know what? You think you don't trust this guy? You think this guy's costing you money? Good. You think this guy's getting his ass kicked? Good. Go the other way. That's all part of it. Go the other way. Oh, the head's going that way, I'm going the other way. Good. Everybody needs a system. Everybody needs a process. It's fun, man. I love it. I'm trying to find a way to get this guy in, not only every Friday, but other times during the week, too. All right. 1-800-636-8686. If you want, man, fade the gigantic head. If you don't like what you're hearing, stop crying about it and fade the head. Have fun with it. That's what we're doing. We're having fun with it. Either ride with the head or fade the head. As I mentioned, there are some really good matchups this weekend, including one in the ring. Don't miss it. Sunday, December 5th, 8 p.m. live, pay-per-view. Gervonta Tank Davis is taking on Isaac Pitbull Cruz from Baltimore. The 27-year-old is making his third straight pay-per-view headlining appearance. That's how you know this guy's big time in the game. That and the fact that he's 25-0, 24 by knockout. You always get your money's worth. He's going up against Isaac Cruz. Cruz is coming forward. We know this about him. Styles make fights. Cruz is coming straight ahead. We understand this. 22-1-1, 15 knockouts. He's got two more wins in 2021, including a win over the former champ, Francisco Vargas, in June. Make sure you check this out. Sunday, 8 p.m., you've got the unbeaten five-time world champ, boxing's hottest name, Gervonta Tank Davis, defending his belt against hard-hitting Isaac Pitbull Cruz. It is a can't-miss pay-per-view event. Once again, Davis, I'm going to argue, is a generational talent who's still getting better, squaring off against a hard-hitting and hard-nosed Cruz. Two active, high-octane fighters. One explosive showdown. Sunday, December 5th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It is live on pay-per-view. Let me get you a sports update. Here's the latest. Here is Marco Belletti.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so once again, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? All right, so I love this. Lots of good reaction to lots of good topics. At Apple Pasta, dear Jim, I am that Alabama fan who gets stoked for hoops as well as football. Love having Coach Oates at the capstone. Before he's through, I think that Bama will make their first Final Four appearance. I'm not going to tell you how to feel if you're a Bama fan or a student or an alum. Listen, man, you got a hell of a basketball coach. You got a hell of a basketball program. I understand you're a football school, always will be. You got a hell of a coach there. And a really good thing going. You should not sleep on that. You should appreciate how lucky you are to have that guy. And Mick Chicken Man says, Jim, was that an infomercial for Hooked on Phonics, or was that the Big Head Bet segment? What an improvement. Let's hope that his picks improve like his public speaking. That's what I said. Like, he did one pick, and I kind of let that ride because I knew that he would revert back to his mean. And then he didn't. I'm like, who is this guy, Winston Churchill? So we'll see. Chris Coons 3 tweets, Jimmy, the big head, expressed his picks so confidently and smooth, it convinced me to get in on the action. Five leg parlay, baby. Let's get it, head. Woo! All right, so listen, you're right about the head. He was smooth. He was confident. Nobody said a single thing about a parlay. So that's on you. We don't tell you to do that. That's on you. Hey, Tan Man, did James Kelly get some electroshock therapy to help with his grammar, pacing, and pronunciation? Wait, never mind. His dome would be too big to fit into the shocking device. He must have been practicing his Hooked on Phonics flashcards. I don't know, but he was much improved. He was smooth, and the information sounded tight. Listen, if you don't like what you heard and you think that he was all chalk, fade him. Go the other way. It's not one or the other in that sense. Like, you don't have to go with this guy. We're not saying we're always right. We're saying we know what the hell we're doing. We work it really hard and we try to be right more often than we're wrong. You make that decision for yourself. If you think you can make more money going against him and us, do it. And then talk all the junk you want. Hey, Rome, can you ask the big head if Vegas has an over-under on how long it will take for Brian Kelly to kill a student at LSU? Thanks, Cody in Portland. Yeah, I mean, yes, Cody, I could. But I won't. Stay classy, Cody. Romy, we've been going round and round for years about this. Come on, man. Bring back the family.
I'm here with my family.
Family. That is not the way he pronounced that word like 5 minutes ago. I've talked to him for years. He never once talked about his family.
Family.
Jeff C. in NC. Unwar Cam losing 20% of himself every time he suits up for the Panthers. Damn, Rome.
20%.
That's some fine gumbo. Signed, Brian Kelly eating clam chowder. Well done, Casey in New Hampshire. This guy got to something that I wanted to get to and I didn't. But since he did, I'm going to give him credit. Romeo, Brian Kelly's southern accent is spot on. Signed, James Vanderbeek.
But I don't want your life.
I'm here with my family.
But I don't want your life.
Your life.
Or your family.
I don't want your life.
I'm here with my
family. I don't want your life.
Your life.
I'm here with my family.
I don't want your life.
I'm here with my family.
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. Rome.
I'm here with my family.
And my jug. And my banjo. And my shine.
But I don't want your life.
Hey, Jim, is today a nightmare? We have Jerry Jones barfing his cigar-riddled lungs all over Bourbon Street. Then we have Boston's own turning into Red Bull U. WTF, is this Waterboy 2? Louisiana is screwed. Chris in Alberta. This one just, I mean, these just are nonstop. This one says, tell that buffoon. Hey, listen, I got to be honest. Like, that quote, buffoon, I've been talking to for years. Like, I can't believe the week he's had and how badly and quickly this thing turned. This says, tell that buffoon, Brian Bubba Kelly, to drop the accent.
More importantly,
I'll admit the South is not the rocket science capital of the world. However, we can spot a carpet-bagging Yankee from a mile away. He better not lose more than two games a year, or else he'll need a new accent when he goes to Winnipeg to coach the Jets. Signed, Taylor in Lexington.
You great fans.
Scott K. He writes, quote, hi, Jim. It's me, Brian. If there's one thing these Southerners don't like, it's a lie. Hi, Jim. It's me, Brian. If there's one thing these Southerners don't like, it's a lie.
More importantly.
And David T. in Nashville to wrap up hour number two, quote, Brian Kelly's wife has filed for divorce after learning about his affair with his cousin.
Family.
Well, that'd be a lie. Like Brian Kelly, even if he had just gotten out of South Bend, it would have been a tough and challenging week. But to show up at that basketball game with that fake accent sounding like he's Coach O is like, it's unbelievable. Like, why? For who? For what? What were you thinking with that? Got a big hour number three coming up next, and I'm not done with that topic either.